Yeah, Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you are our help in times of trouble. But Lord, I really want to thank you that you're with us, that your promises never leave, and that your word does not go out void, and that you've placed in us the hope of glory, the place of knowing you, experiencing you, that no matter what we face, you are to be glorified and lifted up. And so would you fill Paula with your Holy Spirit afresh? Would you fill her with your words? And would you be glorified and lifted up this morning? In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
I'm just going to set the clock so that I am mindful of time. Okay. Good morning. It is great to be here to share. And I had to smile because as Tim was leading worship, one of the last hymns he did was basically Psalm 23. And I will be referencing Psalm 23 throughout. I've titled this message, Choose Your Hard. Choose Your Hard. I've chosen to begin by reading Psalm 23 because it tells of the comfort and hope I experienced during a lengthy and difficult season with my health. I'll be upfront and say that to my surprise, as I sat to reflect and write about this testimony and the many health challenges that I had faced, I found myself crying often. Tears flowing a lot. And I'm hoping it won't happen within the next 30 minutes. But if it does, know that these are no longer tears of pain and despair. But tears of deep gratitude and joy. Here we go. I also want to acknowledge that everyone's experience of pain and suffering is valid, it is different, and it is deeply personal. And what I'm about to share reflects my own experience of suffering and healing and revelation from the Lord. I hope you're comfortable with seeing tears roll down people's cheeks. And in no way is intended as a marker for your own journey or experience. I will be sharing photos on the screen to accompany my testimony, and if you have a sensitive stomach, be assured that only a few of those photos at the beginning could be startling, and I will do my best to warn you of those ahead of time. For now, we will begin with a picture that is both beautiful and true. Psalm 23 from the Contemporary English Version. You, Lord, are my shepherd. I will never be in need. You let me rest in fields of green grass. You lead me to streams of peaceful water, and you refresh my life. You are true to your name, and you lead me along the right paths. I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me, and your shepherd's rod makes me feel safe. You treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. You honor me as your guest, and you fill my cup until it overflows. Your kindness and love will always be with me each day of my life, and I will live forever in your house, Lord. So, if you are of the sensitive nature, with visual images because I will be showing a few pictures of what my hands and feet looked like when they were at their worst when I had psoriasis. Now would be a good time to either close your eyes or shift your gaze away from the screen. And it will be brief. It will be brief. Is everyone okay at this point? Okay. My hands and feet. I still do not have even partial insight as to why God allowed my immune system to be provoked and taxed to the point where the skin, specifically on my hands and feet, was severely invaded by psoriasis and me eventually developing psoriatic arthritis. But I do know that both the hurt and the healing that happened as a result was more than skin deep. I will say that the hurts not from people, but the ouches I felt while ill were very painful and many. And the healings from that season were also many. So what I share today is only a sliver, a very small portion of the sorts of healing that the Lord accomplished in me and that I am still learning to recognize and even now unpacking, which is probably why it's so emotional. Very shortly after accepting the Lord in 1995, a long time ago, there was one scripture that vividly stood out from the Bible, and I can still recall catching my attention, and I immediately memorized it. It was from the book of Job. Job 13, verse 15. It read, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain all my own ways before him." Important to know in light of my testimony is that I did not grow up in the church. Neither had I any knowledge of the Bible nor previous exposure to this particular scripture. And so to this day, I have no doubt that God had me deliberately see this Bible verse early in my Christian walk, causing it to take root that unknown to me back then would be for such a time as this past season of suffering and ill health. Called to the tent meeting, for better or worse. Most of us associate this phrase with marriage vows, and we should. It echoes the heart of Christ's commitment to follow the will of his Father in a way that says, absolutely, no matter what, and declares nevertheless. Since I am now in covenant with Jesus, who is my first husband, as his co-laborer, I too was reminded of my need to choose. A need to choose whether I would allow the journey of suffering with no obvious end in sight to be for better or worse. When pain and inflammation increases, and the list of what you can no longer do, physically and emotionally, gets longer each day. Over time, it is easier to see only what has and is becoming worse. This hurt deeply. When the weight of sorrow from caring for someone with progressive long-term illness starts to accompany your spouse's commitment to love and to serve, and there is absolutely nothing humanly possible you nor your spouse can do to stop the pain, not only from affecting you and your relationship, but your own child, this also hurts. Like it or not, The reality was that none of this was happening outside of the knowledge, nor outside of God's knowledge, nor his will. And the fact is, he loved me. He loved Kenny. He loved Phoebe. I knew it. We knew it. But what I did not know, nor could have imagined possible before experiencing months of chronic pain, was that I would discover an even greater depth of God's love for me in my suffering. This was healing. And the irony is that I don't know that I could have received this revelation of God's love for me any other way. Psalm 23, "You, Lord, are my shepherd." Without going into detail, psoriatic arthritis affects far more than just a person's bones or joints. So Phoebe, then 6, going on 7, wondered if she might lose her mommy, which is something I found penned in her journal. And Ken also grappled daily with this reality that seemed inevitable. And the truth is, I often wondered the same. This really hurt. Psalm 23, "I will never be in need." One morning, our doorbell rang, and there stood several women from the church, armed with cleaning supplies and determination of love in their eyes that spelled compassion. They moved furniture, vacuumed, folded loads of clothes from weeks of laundry waiting in a basket, made beds, cleaned the fridge, the bathroom, threw out garbages, puffed up pillows, dusted, wiped windows, weeded and tilled the garden in our backyard, and brought cooked meals. This healed more than just the heart of our home. And it was something done more than once. Just give me a sec. It's hard to read when you're crying. If you see tears coming from my forehead, it's menopause. Just saying. Sweating, crying high and low. One afternoon, I got a phone call. This person said she felt the Lord ask her to come over and spend time ministering to me. She came and brought the gift of song as she sat singing and playing our piano, while my body lay stiff, completely racked with unbearable pain. My heart leapt in praise at the sound of her worshiping the Lord, and my soul was refreshed. While my body seemed to be betraying me, Kenny, Phoebe, and I received love and care from the body of Christ that was nothing short of supernatural. Your loyalty and willingness to serve is something we will never forget. Members of the body walked where my feet could not go, and you reached out with your arms, held up when mine could not embrace. And people in many families within our church body allowed God, excuse me, to uniquely use them to pour his bounty into our lives so that all of our needs were met. This was also healing. Psalm 23. You let me rest in fields of green grass. You lead me to streams of peaceful water, and you refresh my life. I'm so glad you gave me the big box of Kleenex. Honestly. Photo credit to my left. In the face of seeing her mummy go from reasonably mobile to being unable to hold a toothbrush, grasp a cup, comb her hair, hold her hand, twist the lid off of a jar, pour water from a kettle, make the bed, hug neither her nor her dad, use cutlery without help, wring out a face cloth, walk without limping, and for that reason, okay, walk without limping, I apologize. And for what reason except the Lord would this seven-year-old have for deciding to publicly confess her faith through water baptism the day before her eighth birthday? Which is the testimony of the Lord's faithfulness in the life of our daughter Phoebe Elise Selah. This act of obedient faith healed and bore witness to the power of the gospel, as well as the love and faithfulness of a Savior and Lord whose name is Almighty God. Psalm 23. You are true to your name, and you lead me along the right paths. I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me, and your shepherd's rod makes me feel safe. It is January 3rd, and I am at Starbucks, seated across the table from someone I only met over the phone days earlier, listening to the counsel of this personal trainer as she speaks with kindness and genuine concern for my health. She listens to me share my increasing struggles and desire for change, and I watch her nod and affirm every life-robbing symptom I am experiencing. Why? Because as God would have it, she too has psoriatic arthritis. Then she challenges and invites me to begin her boot camp classes. For a moment, I am almost convinced that someone somewhere is laughing at me. Boot camp? Did she not just hear the last 15 minutes of our conversation? Is my inside voice. I thank her and walk away, then pray about it, sense God's peace, and hear him say, "Trust me." Psalm 23. You treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. You honor me as your guest, and you fill my cup until it overflows. It's a few weeks since starting boot camp. When I'm feeling a bit discouraged about the pain I continue to have in my body and the very gradual progress I assess that I've made, I continue to have, pardon me, inwardly, I think to myself, this is just too hard. Then my personal trainer says, living with illness is hard. Making a change and getting fit and healthy is hard. Paula, choose your heart. It is 8 months since attending boot camp, and I have gained strength, stamina, and mobility I never imagined possible. If given the option for suffering, I would not have chosen psoriatic arthritis ever. But I have embraced choosing my heart, knowing that it could be worse, and in fact is, has been, and no doubt will continue to be better, so long as my hope is to glorify and magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are living in a time of health advocacy, when we're repeatedly hearing the fitness industry emphasize the importance and need for people to strengthen their core. Similarly, we as the body of Christ are living in a day and era where, as believers, it is imperative that we be intentional and gird our loins with truth and strength, so that we can both stand up with God's armor on and kneel down in prayer and fasting, making intercession for others with the bowels and compassion of Jesus Christ. Time in the tent. My time of meeting in the tent of the Lord was painful, precious, and intimate. When chronic pain and fatigue, often ending up feeling like utter exhaustion, landed me on bed rest, the persistence of Psalm 91, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty," was made very real and tangible to me. So much so that even when I did not nor could not hear the Lord, I knew He was present. In other words, His silence did not mean I was for one moment forsaken, and it felt silent for months. While there's nothing wrong with wanting to hear the Lord's voice, and we should want to, suffering brought me to a place where I no longer had to hear Him say something to know He was near. And that stillness of suffering quieted my reason and my need for questioning. Somehow suffering made all my indignation, my inward longing for an explanation, and my questions become suddenly meaningless. Excuse me. Pardon me. Meaningless not to God, but meaningless to me, because my pain from the skin on my hands and my feet was not the issue. The pain was simply God's tool used to realign my focus and direct my attention to the real and deeper issues of my heart, which included my identity in Christ, who I was and am in Him, my utter and absolute need for His body, the church, and to settle the issue of His sovereignty in my life. My desire had to be that He be glorified no matter what it cost in the form of suffering, and it needed to become what mattered most to me. Frankly, even though physically improvement is noticeable, oh, I wanted to call this battle scars. So even though improvement in my physical appearance is noticeable, up until quite recently, I was still relating to Jesus like someone who was suffering from shell shock. Reluctant to show up for meetings with him in the tent. Longing for intimacy with him and yet tentative about getting closer. Loving the Lord and yet uncertain I could take another hit of such emotional upheaval from an unpredictable flare of psoriasis or arthritis. I openly recognize this as my own sin and ongoing issues with trust. Clearly, there's still healing happening and more needing to happen between me and my Savior in the tent of meeting. Since the fruit of suffering is never intended to be for my soul benefit, and if the Lord is to be glorified in the trials, the difficulty, and the pain surrounding our lives and circumstances, then necessary and vital is the dance when hurt and healing, along with suffering and comfort, are willing partners in the life of a Christ follower. Second Corinthians 1:3-5 exhorts, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have been received from God. For just as sufferings in Christ overflow into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." Amen.
Can we stand together? Just want a ministry time. As I was sitting listening to Paula, I hadn't heard everything that she had written, but what's your heart? I think we are faced with situations in our life, and sometimes the hard part is meeting with the Lord, because we think he won't meet us, that he'll be silent, or that his affections aren't for us, that somehow he won't come through for us. And his word says that he will, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he is with us. And I was listening to a podcast this weekend about sometimes when someone's going through an issue, we say, "May God help you." And sometimes God's help looks different than our expectation, and then we get disappointed when his help doesn't come in the way that we think or want it to. And he will help us. He's constantly helping us. But the person commended and said, maybe the better option is to say, maybe you experience God with you. May you experience the fullness of who he is with you as you suffer and are going through something, because that's what we need, a revelation of who he is with us when we're faced with difficulty and suffering. And so what's your heart? As we were worshiping this morning and Tim was on the piano, his daughter kept coming and sitting on the seat beside him. I don't know if you saw that. It's good to sit close. I'm just saying, if you're way back there, you may miss all of that action up here, but she kept coming over, and first she was climbing up over here on the stage, and she's so tiny, right? And I thought, oh, that's hard. But she'd climb up there and she'd sit beside me. Even sitting on the piano bench is hard. But she was sitting there, and someone behind me said, "Is that okay?" I said, "Absolutely." Because I'm looking at that going, here is this little girl who just can't wait to be with her dad. And that's like us with our Heavenly Father. Will we be like Callie, who, or is the daughter, climbs up on the stage, which is hard, to be with the dad? And then I realized that, oh, she found the stairs, and it was easier. But she had climbed up the hard part first a couple of times before she found the stairs. And that's like a tent of meeting and being with the Lord. Sometimes it's hard at the beginning. It's difficult to break old habits. It's difficult to break old conceptions of God and being with Him. But it gets easier. I don't know if there's an amen there. I know that for myself. If I am distracted or I give up on my tent of meeting with God, it's harder to get back into it. But once I start putting it in practice, then I realize the stairs are easier to get to God. So what's your heart? And so we're going to play a song, Psalm 23, and you can feel free to sit in that. It's about 4 minutes long. But I want to leave you, if you have to leave, with Jude 24. It's one of my favorite doxologies. As a blessing, there's coffee downstairs if you want to fellowship downstairs. But if you want to just sit in the Lord's presence, in God's presence, and just ask Him to come minister to you afresh this morning as Papa, as Abba, intimate Father, in the place where you may be struggling, or if you want to receive prayer, come to the front. Front pew here. We'll gladly pray for you. But it says this: to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. So if you want to play the song. Holy name.
hold.